Hey, we got Vegas Vince here, and we're going to talk tonight a little bit about the world of barter. And we're going to talk specifically about kind of the fear that's being struck in the heart of the barter industry. Some of the folks in the barter world are really upset about what's been going on with barter arbitrage and how many folks have been coming into the barter exchanges as independent traders, doing a large volume of trading and business. And you might say it's making some people look bad. People who maybe aren't used to seeing that kind of productivity and those kind of numbers. Vince, recently, you know, there's been a lot of press happening on some of the industry blogs and some of the things where some of the old guard is getting a little worried, I think, right? Is that what we're seeing here on some of these blogs?
I think it's a business as usual mentality. And unfortunately, you know, times do change. And unfortunately, this is an industry that I often think does billions of dollars in spite of itself. This is an industry that seems to get excited about Web 2.0, aka YouTube videos, when we're in fact in the year 2010. And it is an industry that has a lot of very set ways about it in terms of the way they do business and in terms of the way they always heard it should be, and in terms of recruiting new members, et cetera. And it's an industry that I often wonder if it welcomes new ideas. It in many cases, it appears that it doesn't. Sometimes it almost makes me feel like a lot of people in the barter industry would rather bang their head against a tree than walk around it, if it meant accepting that maybe there was an easier route or path or approach. And I think the primary focus should be that barter has and always will be based on leverage. And yet in terms of the recruiting of new members, it is still done in a very, very old school manner. And,
right. And the people that they target for recruiting are completely different than the folks that have been taking advantage of this training and learning how the barter system works and how to be able to use that to create profit for themselves. You know, Vince, one of the things that we've talked about often is the diversity of the people that come into the training program and have become successful traders. And some of them are doing quite a large volume of trade, and many of them are simply doing trade. They're trading at all, which, of course, is, you know, better than a large percentage of the mom and pop businesses and some of the resorts and different people that the barter industry have always traditionally targeted to bring in. A lot of the seasonal businesses, for example, they don't trade at all half the year.
Classic point, not to interrupt you, but classic example. I have a gentleman who owns a hotel across the street from a restaurant. He's not trading right now because his rooms are full. And unfortunately, he has never been taught that he can, in fact, do business outside of just his own. And I think that's where the barter industry fails miserably, because right now, the broker for this particular hotel is not making a dime. Therefore, the exchange is not making a dime. And I have a hard time understanding how that is positive for the barter industry. The fact of the matter is, this is a gentleman who was signed up with the same pitch that they use on all new business owners. You know, take a hotel, for example. Well, sir, you've got empty rooms. You can't sell them twice tomorrow. Might as well take trade and use the trade dollars for things you can cash on. And well, that's, you know, it's very compelling and it's a good argument. But the fact of the matter is, in Florida during January, February, March, and April, this gentleman who owns this hotel has no issue with empty rooms. Therefore, he's not trading. Had he been a client of mine in barter arbitrage, right now he would be trading something else. And that, I think, is the big difference between what I do and what the industry does. The people that we have in barter arbitrage are people that the industry flat out refuses to acknowledge as even being worthy of targeting.
You know, that's a very valid point. That's a very valid point. I read recently on one of the blogs, somebody asked, you know, to define what it is that our members are peddling. And I thought, wow, peddling. That is an awfully big word, peddling. Like, you know, of all the insulting terms that could be brought forth to describe retirees, business owners, some of the political people that we've had in our training, all kinds of all walks of life. I mean, average, everyday, red-blooded Americans looking to generate a profit through the opportunity that the barter networks and the barter world represents. And suddenly now they're relegated to being door-to-door peddlers, like schlepping a magazine subscription or something. And so I think, you know, it's a perfect example of what you're saying, is that they look down their noses at the notion of an independent trader, and yet our members are outselling their customers, their traders, by an order of magnitude right out of the gate. I mean, some of these guys are doing tens of thousands of dollars in trade volume,
right,
and they've been in the barter business for like a month and a half.
Right, because we make barter fun and we break it down. The biggest issue I've had with the industry is having to basically teach people that this is not chickens for goats. It's not a step backward. And the fact of the matter is, as far as the term peddler, there's a lot of very good barter brokers out there that bust their ass and they hustle. And they probably, for them to do the amount of clients that we do would require a lot of pounding of the pavements, a lot of cold calling. And I think there's a lot of resentment when someone is able to come in and basically, on a push button method and, you know, several of the different techniques we use that don't require cold calling, that don't require appointment setting and all this, you know, all the industry standard for getting clients. I think it causes a problem because maybe there's some resentment there, and I don't understand that, because if I'm a barter broker, I'd like to be a broker, not a salesperson. And unfortunately, they're in the leverage business and they don't leverage their own time and resources in terms of getting new members. So I think to me, when people throw out terms like peddling, it's sour grapes, because the fact of the matter is, we were able to do that without picking up a phone, without walking into a business. And I'm not saying that the people who do it are bad or wrong. What I'm saying is we're in 2010, and there are certain techniques that brokers could use out there that would allow them to do what they got into this game for, which is conducting business rather than trying to be a sign-up artist. And I think that's a big difference.
Right on. I absolutely agree with you. I think that's where the barter industry has kind of lost its focus in some ways, is forgetting that it's all about the trade volume. And in that same article, there was something else that I found fascinating, which was the example that was put forth was like something about like a $25,000 listing for a $2,000 Jeep. And I thought to myself, in what parallel universe would a barter broker in any legitimate exchange ever run that listing? I mean, who would list that? And more importantly, more important than that even is, what knucklehead would possibly buy a $2,000 rust bucket Jeep for $25,000 barter dollars? Who would do that?
Well, that's unfortunately a case of an individual trying to make his point by coming up with some very extreme example that I don't even know if it ever existed. You know, it doesn't even make sense. So to make his point, he's going to equate what my students do, apparently, who he doesn't know. He's not familiar with our product. And he's supposed to be, again, the voice of the barter industry, but it's more of an editorial spin. And the fact of the matter is, I have no clue about a $25,000 Jeep. I don't know if that's a story he made up in his own mind to make a point, but it doesn't speak well to his position if the best he can come up with is using some example, because I can tell you, as a matter of fact, that there is not a single student of mine who has ever would even conceive of something like that. And the fact of the matter is, what legitimate barter agent would allow a listing like that? And my point is, if someone did purchase a $25,000 rust bucket that was worth $2,000, no offense, but they're a friggin' moron.
That's kind of what my point was. I mean, it's essentially just,
I don't know who
extreme...
this guy's trying to protect the industry from, because
let me tell you my thoughts on that. I understand the perspective. I think I understand where folks are coming from and where the resistance is. Can I tell you why I think that's
absolutely
what I think that is? My belief is that they have a fear that seems legitimate on the surface, but is unfounded. And I'll tell you what it is. I believe that they are afraid of a sort of unsavory get rich quick kind of person that they've constructed in their mind of what they think the independent trader is all about. Some kind of opportunity seeking, get rich quick business opportunity kind of person coming in looking to exploit and just, you know, pillage the right. barter world and spoil the sanctity of the barter exchange. And the truth of the matter is that this entire business has zero appeal for that kind of, you know, push button rich person who's looking for the next shiny thing that's going to spit money out of their computer monitor at them with, you know, on autopilot 24 hours a day. It doesn't work that way. You've got to pay for your membership. You've got to pay the fees for the trade. You've got to do the work involved of actually making the trades happen. That's way too much work for those kinds of opportunities.
That's not the ticket to Xanadu that most people in the get-rich-quick market are looking for. Once they find out you might actually have to spend $10, they're not interested. And obviously this particular program is certainly not designed for them, and they don't purchase it.
They run the other way. They run the other way. And the truth of the matter is, so I get it. I understand their worry. Their concern is like they don't want a bunch of people like that coming in. And I guess in a way they're just afraid that if we're bringing in so many new independent traders and students and they're coming into the barter exchange that we're somehow, you know, bringing in a lower quality. I heard the phrase, you know, it's quality over quantity. Folks, our traders trade.
Absolutely.
What about yours? Okay, that's the question you need to ask yourself. What if everybody you brought in and signed up to the network turned into an actual trader who traded year-round? And what if they didn't even do a big volume, but they traded consistently all the time?
Exactly.
And you had a whole lot of them doing that. That's
well,
the reality.
I often wonder why barter is, you know, we do have a society here called free enterprise, and for some reason, the very same people that will embrace free enterprise in the cash world don't seem to want to embrace it in the trade world. And I'm not talking about particularly barter brokers, because these people, in order to make money as a barter broker, I mean, like we can get into this fantasy land of this perfect utopian barter society, as you say, but the fact of the matter is, if you do that, they're going to come repo your furniture. Okay? The bottom line is an exchange makes money on trading, period. And with that said, obviously, a good exchange is going to make sure that the items listed are of quality in the services, and you're going to avoid things like this mythical $25,000 unicorn or Jeep or whatever the hell it was that's worth $2,000. But the fact of the matter is, again, we have introduced people at this industry considers like a redheaded stepchild. They have this model in their head that the only people that you go after are brick and mortar businesses. And what I'm saying is, what a shame. What a waste. Because, you know, I have a gentleman in our course who was the former head of the SBA down in Virginia. I mean, this is a guy that they flat out aren't interested in, or any, you know, entrepreneur, and yet this, in my way of thinking, is the future of barter, because you can still have your brick and mortar businesses, but why would you want to purposely exclude entrepreneurs who are the heart and soul of this country and make the world go round because you always heard that's the way it should be, like the Carly Simon song? I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me whatsoever, and they can't have it both ways. You can't come in and say you want these so-called bread-and-butter businesses that fit this certain cookie-cutter profile, and then you're going to turn around and exclude someone who might very well do more consistent trading, but he just doesn't happen to have an address where people can walk into his store. It makes no sense. The commission spends the same. I'll say that again. The commission of my trade spends the same. And by the way, if we want to live in this perfect utopian barter society where everything's traded below this and that, then brokers could then take their commission in barter. And we know they don't do that. They can't do that. So the fact of the matter is, what we do is we have found a segment of the population, which I hate to say it, is about 90%, that are interested in barter, that have been excluded by an industry void of much quality information, that does it the same way. And the point is, We make it fun. We make it interesting. We get people excited about trade. That is a good, positive thing for the industry. On the flip side of the coin, we also do it in a way that is pretty much push button in terms of recruiting. We don't go pound pavements. We don't harass people at dinner. We don't knock on doors. We don't have to. That's the difference. I mean, it really is.
It's about rallying a crowd. And, you know, bottom line is when you're able to gather a group of like-minded people who are excited about the possibilities of barter and the possibilities of getting in there and trading, how can that be viewed as a bad thing for the barter industry? It boggles my mind and makes absolutely sense.
Because it's the way it's always been done. Unfortunately, that's the only thing I can come up with. We're in 2010, and the average office is taught, much like even the stockbrokers, that you got to pick up the yellow pages, you got to cold call, you got to hit the bricks, you got to do this and that. And I'm saying that if you would act, and I'm going to tell you the worst thing, the industry has benefited from millions and millions of dollars worth of free publicity. And I had an argument with this with Tyler Siemens. He said, well, I think they're doing a good job of getting on the news. Yeah, well, that's wonderful. Getting on the news and spinning the industry in a positive manner is two different things. The fact of the matter is, barter, if you go to YouTube and you look at story after story on YouTube, they all start out the same. Is life kicking you in the ass? If so, maybe you should take a step back to the friggin' caveman days and barter can help you. We spend barter as an income stream. We spend barter as a step forward. We make it something that people should be excited about. We don't present it in a way of, oh, is life beating you up? Maybe you should step back in time and take trade, you know, chickens for goats.
Goats. That's brownies for sprinklers.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Brownies for sprinklers.
We've made barter hip and cool for entrepreneurs. And let me tell you something. One good, savvy entrepreneur, to me, is more valuable than a seasonal brick and mortar located at 123 Maple Street that might only trade their rooms four times a year. Now, that's the client the barter industry wants. Fine. I personally think there's a lot of brokers out there going to see my point of view and realize they'd rather have a guy who trades 24/7, 365. That's the difference. Because in the bottom line, baby, it's about the dollars and cents. I hate to say it. And my traders are going to create a hell of a lot more commissions than that perfect cookie cutter client, like the guy across the street who's only been told he can trade his empty rooms when in fact they're empty, which I hate to tell you, isn't happening right now. So the particular broker, again, is earning nothing. The exchange is earning nothing. I asked him, I said, do you have anything else to trade? He said, no. They, you know, he's under the impression, like a lot of them, that that's all he can trade. I mean, he was
never allowed to trade. He's not allowed. Yeah. He's not allowed to trade anything but his rooms.
Yeah, I mean, because he was never told otherwise. No one takes the time. Brokers, when you have to try, if an average barter broker were to go out and hit the bricks and try to get 83 clients in 6 days, let's assume they were successful. Explain to me how much time they would be able to devote to the client. Whereas if you use the approach of leverage in certain techniques as far as getting people, by the way, the people that we bring in want to be there. We don't have to sell them or hard sell them. It's like
they buy their way in.
In a barrel. I mean, I could show the average broker how to go out and in one day get more clients than the entire office could probably do in a month. And it's not some big secret. It's just techniques that have proven to work, and they do work. And you're going to get people at that point. A broker can start being a broker. He can start transacting business. He can start doing the things to make his exchange better. It's hard to do that when you are in the hustle and flow mode of having to go out and hustle clients. And it doesn't have to be that way. You do not have to limit yourself to brick and mortar businesses. That's the biggest problem, number one.
It gets back to the notion of peddling. And my argument with such a silly word as that is that if they were peddlers, no one would be buying. And the
exactly.
fact is that they're trading like crazy, which means people are loving what they're listing and snapping it up. And when they
exactly.
snap it up, the brokers make money. When the brokers make money, the exchange makes money.
It trickles
right. When
up.
The brokers
yeah,
make money, the exchange makes money. When the exchange makes money, everyone wins. The buyer
absolutely.
Wins, the seller wins. The broker yep. wins, and the broker exchange wins. You know what that means? That means the barter economy wins. And so the industry as a whole is made better because of it. But yet,
and they're worried about this mythical devaluing of the currency somehow. And I say it's a zero-sum game. I say it's free enterprise. I say if someone puts up a rusty Jeep for $25,000, unless there's a bunch of idiots out there, it's not going to sell. Why? Because it wouldn't sell for $25,000 cash either. And most people, at least in legitimate barter exchanges, would never see that offer because it wouldn't be listed. And even if it slipped through the cracks, I can tell you that most ITEX or IMS or BarterCard, et cetera, members are probably a little too smart. It's, you know, it's rather insulting to think that while somebody in the cash world would be too smart to make that purchase, the fact he's in barter makes him a friggin' idiot, so he's just going to buy regardless of what the price is. And
what, like, they forgot how to
yeah,
operate a calculator?
Yeah, exactly.
they lost their access. Sorry, this is barter. You're not allowed to look at the blue book.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. And you know, so again, so when these guys come out with these extreme examples like that to try to make their point, it doesn't even make any sense. And
no,
the fact of the matter is,
it's
yeah,
crazy.
Go ahead.
It's,
yeah,
it's crazy.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was just going to say, to me, it reminds me of the old saying that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and continuing to expect a different result.
Absolutely.
Well, if you continue to do the same things over and over again that have not worked in barter for the last 20 years, why on earth would you continue to keep doing them? Why would you do more?
You know what, Brian? I think their point is that they do work. I think that they feel as though the membership is up in barter this year. And my point is, if you've been handed millions of dollars in free publicity, I liken it to this. Walking into a bank that's unlocked with $1 million sitting on the table and you walk out with only 500. Yes, you made a little money, but you squandered a whole lot more money because you didn't see it, even though it was staring you straight in the face. And the point of the matter is this industry is so ultra conservative and there's so many pipe smokers involved that are afraid to make a decision. I call these guys the Ron Frazes of the world, these people that line up a putt on the 18th green 3 feet and they line it up from every direction and they stand over it and then they four putt it. And my point is that we're living in a day and age where it's time to take barter out of the dark ages, and instead of preaching that, you know, caveman mentality, let's start making it fun for the average person, because these people will trade. The industry excludes. Why? Because it's always been done that way. That's the best answer you can ever get. Bread and butter clients. Well, this guy across the street is probably a bread and butter client, but he's not trading right now. So to me, if that's bread and butter, then the industry deserves what they get. The fact of the matter is we are living in the modern era here. It would be, you know, behoove barter to maybe at least take a look at some other approaches, and showing up with a YouTube video, while might be, you know, interesting, is certainly not exactly groundbreaking. I mean, you know, as you and I talked about, you set up a Facebook, Twitter, and about 3 other social media sites in all of 10 minutes. I mean, between lunch and dinner, I think. So I'm not quite sure where they're going. I think.
Well, in their defense, you know, these are new technologies, and mm-hmm. so it is exciting to be getting involved in new media and getting into the blogosphere and using mm-hmm. the power of Web 2.0 to increase their coverage. All those things are all good things. Nothing wrong with any
absolutely.
Of that. But it's certainly not the same as creating 86 new trading members in a matter
absolutely.
Of days.
And then another 42.
It's not the same as creating another group just several months prior to that. The
right.
truth of the matter is what people aren't getting about
people
what
are scared
we
of change,
what
Brian.
We
they
teach,
are.
What people aren't getting about what we do and what we teach is that it's not a get-rich-quick mentality. It's a get leverage and make profit for everyone involved. We don't teach people to sell over retail. We teach people you can't sell over retail.
Absolutely.
That there's no way to sell over retail, that it's not allowed, that it's forbidden, and it's against the terms of the barter exchanges. We don't teach people to gain.
We teach margins, Brian. We teach margins. I hate to break it to people
margins.
Out there.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, the jeweler
teach people
is
how
the
to
jewel,
do the metric. Yeah. Do the math.
The jeweler selling a $1,000 ring in the mall jewelry store, I hate to break it to the utopians out there. He didn't pay $1,000 for it. If he did and that's what he sold it for, he'd go bankrupt. There is a difference between inflation and margins. There is nothing wrong with selling a product at retail value. I'm sorry, there isn't. And if we want to get to this stage where, you know, and it's easy for people not in the industry making their living from it to preach otherwise, but the fact of the matter is every broker listening to this right now knows that the only way he's going to make, or she, any money is to get traders who trade, period, end of story. We can get into the land of elves and fairies and how we wish it was and this and that. The bottom line is the people that do that are going to get their house repossessed and their furniture and everything else. I mean, I'm living in the real world here. I'm talking about bringing in a segment of the population this industry has ignored since the beginning, and we've proven that they will trade. And it's also about exposing information to people because this industry, again, as we've said many times, billion-dollar industry, there's more friggin' books in your library on why bumblebees bumble than there are in barter. And if somebody doesn't believe me, feel free to check yourself. You'll see I'm telling the truth. There's an issue with that. This is an industry that, again, presents itself as a way to save yourself once things are going bad in many cases. I'm not saying everybody does that, but you can take a composite look at YouTube and you'll see it over and over on every news story. You know, bad economy, this, bad, bad, bad. There's a lot of people out there, life isn't beaten up. And these people are the ones we target because they're actually using barter as a way to generate profits and leverage and get cool stuff for less money than it would cost them cash. And to be honest with you, there's nothing wrong with that. So the critics, cynics, and naysayers can say what they want. We create traders. We can show barter brokers how to do it in a way that has never been spoken about before. And, you know, the ultimate benefit is the fact that when it's all said and done at the end of the day, it comes down to that commission. You don't have the commission, you're not going to last. And if your competition gets this information, they're going to crush you if they're in the same state. Because I'm going to tell you something. The amount of time it takes me to get 86 clients is a hell of a lot less than it's going to be to do it the way the industry has done it for years and years and years. It's and the fact is, it frees up our time. People wonder, how are you able to get all these clients and then work with them individually? Well, I'll tell you why. Because we can get clients quick enough where we're not spending all our time hustling the bricks and cold calling. That's the difference. What
the
we
time
teach would allow
teaching them how
to
trade.
Be
the time is spent teaching them how to trade.
Yeah, not
that's where the time investment is. Not trying to hustle new clients, not trying to get new people in. Our people pay to get in. They stand in line to get in and learn this stuff. They can't wait to learn how to trade and make money using barter as a form of leverage. And the
ask
fact
the average barter broker what buy high, sell low means. And I would venture to say not one of you out there, and it's not a knock, but I would venture to say not one of you know what buy high, sell low means. My students do, because, again, we spin barter in a different way. Barter does not have to be the same tired old pitch. It can be made fun. We actually make this interesting. You know, I love the industry. I mean, I love barter, the concept of barter. I love the concept of leverage. But we're not selling a chickens for goats mentality. That's what this industry has done. And while it might be effective and it has worked for a while, I'm saying that the industry is leaving massive amounts of money on the table by refusing out of ignorance or apathy or whatever. They're leaving a ton of money on the table by ignoring people because they don't do business at 123 Maple Street. And I do not understand it. Because, again, the entrepreneurs are what makes the society go round and round. This industry doesn't want them. They do not want him, and they make it clear they don't want him. And it just, it baffles me. I mean, it, to me, it baffles me. I don't think I have one client, maybe one, out of 125 that owns a brick and mortar store. That's 124 clients this industry would never have bothered with. Well, we bothered with them, and by the way, their commission spends just fine.
You bet it does, and there's plenty of it.
Absolutely, and there's going to be more. And the average broker that, you know, I honestly think people get into this business, the brokers, the exchanges, they enjoy it. I think the average broker, if you ask them, would you rather actually work with clients, help them develop ideas, you know, figure out things that they can trade, or would you rather bang the yellow pages? I would venture to say most would rather work with clients. I really do. But the way this industry is set up now, in order to keep the money flowing in, you got to keep the traders flowing in. And unfortunately, the way they recruit is archaic. It's medieval. It's old school. And it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, there are, you know, as you know, there are certain approaches we've used where we can walk in and have 40 or 50 people that want to be there in a room and are interested. We're not out there hustling and banging the phones and doing all this stuff that takes so much incredible time. Your time is one of your most valuable assets as a broker. And unfortunately, the average trade office spends a good portion of it trying to get new members. It takes them out of the office. They got to spend an hour or two with one person. Then they got to move to the next one. Well, how many appointments can you make in a day without having life at some point?
With all of that work to get one, to get one company to agree to join the barter exchange, and then hope that maybe they'll be interested enough at the end of that grueling sales pitch to do some business with you, as opposed to someone who has the time, the capital, the resources, experience, and the business know-how to be able to actually get into the world of barter and trade effectively as a business person and an entrepreneur and make money for all parties involved. It's mind-boggling.
Do you know what the biggest gripe I have for my students is when they first get in? And this is the God's truth. I wonder how many people out there have this problem. This is the God's truth. The biggest complaint I get is, can you get us approved for this exchange faster? We're dying to get in.
Right.
These people
exactly.
want to trade. You know why? Because they go through the training. And by the way, they get trained. I mean, there's hours of training, and it's fun. It's not boring textbook dribble. These people, the most complaints I ever get is, damn, can you get that paperwork filled out? You know, what do we got to do? I put it in 2 days ago. I mean, that's a good problem to have. I think the average broker would love to have 20 or 30 people banging on his door saying, please, can you get us in the system? We have that, and as you know, I mean, that's one of our biggest issues is people saying, God, we want to get in. And
hurry up,
sweating us over that. And the point of the matter is, that's a good problem to have.
It sure is.
The reason they want to get in is because they're excited and because it makes sense. I have had more people say, wow, you know, I always thought it was chickens for goats. I never, you know, they have no clue. And that's another real problem this industry has. They don't make it easy for people to know. It's like we are living in a, you know, this little secret island out there where all the good information is suppressed. And I'm saying at barter, again, membership may have increased by whatever, 15-20%. I'm saying it should have increased double. And if they would open the doors, and I don't mean just turn it into the wild, wild west. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying do not exclude independent traders. We created that term. I mean, we actually give meaning to the term. There's some people you see on barter exchanges describe themselves as, I'm an independent trader. We actually coined the phrase. We created the concept and put some meaning behind it, which is you can be a hotel owner, but you don't have to sell hotels. You can be a fisherman or professional fishing guide, and you can sell hotels and fishing. That's the difference. Our students trade. You know, the way this industry is set up is basically, well, what do? That's what you trade. No. I have a guy who trades four or five different services, and guess what? It's not seasonal. And I have a dentist that doesn't trade his dental services, but he trades vacations and his vacation home. This is the guy that the industry would never have even brought that up to his attention. They don't think about it. It's a pitch that has been used over and over, and unfortunately it's been used so often that we just assume, you know, much like the world is flat. No. This is a wake-up call for the industry. There are simpler ways of going about it. Start looking at other people outside of the brick and mortars and start learning some of this stuff in regards to, you know, recruiting members, because you could cut 90% of your time spent recruiting and pounding the pavements with some very simple techniques that it stuns me this industry has no concept of. It really does.
And to speak of the types of people who join, I mean, we've got some of the an absolute legend of marketing who has joined through our training.
And is now selling his legendary marketing courses
and information. I mean, this is a guy who's been in business and known entity for 50 years.
$400 million man, they call him, and one of the most respected marketers. That was a little shot Tyler Siemens wanted to take. Oh, I don't know who the guy is. Well, Tyler, if you look up JF Jim Thraw on Google, you'll find out who he is. You also find out some of the biggest names in marketing. Respect this man.
He's a legend. An absolute legend in direct marketing.
Nobody with any credibility has anything bad to say about Jim Thraw. He's also not for sale. He's a guy who has more, as he says, I have enough money, I don't need to chase rainbows anymore. He's 75 years old. He has made tens and tens of millions of dollars, and he endorses what I do. And the fact of the matter is, you know, there's another example of a gentleman who got excited. And this is, you know, Jim Thraw's owned banks, he's owned publishing companies, owned everything, and his reputation is pretty much untouched in the industry. Anybody who's lasted 50 years and doesn't have a bunch of haters has done something right. He's very respected. And again, there's another example of a gentleman that jumped in, and even at this age, because we made it exciting for him.
Right.
And he was interested. This is somebody the industry wouldn't go after either. And this is a gentleman who probably has more money in his bank than one of the major trade exchanges earns. And I'm not kidding about that. Jim is a very, very wealthy man. Very wealthy. I'm not talking about a few million. Very wealthy man. That was quite the honor to have him in there. Not only endorsing the course, promoting the course, but actually getting in and trading.
Trading. Let's get back to the basics here. Trading. The whole point of what we teach is to teach people to trade. And
absolutely.
How and why an industry would be resistant to the notion of people learning how to effectively come in and create dollars. Well, I'm not sure that they are either. I think that they're afraid.
I think the people that come in are these,
you know, guys with the little dark hooded sweatshirts over their head, like some kind of computer hacker, get rich quick online scammers coming in and infiltrating the barter networks. And I mean, again, that just could not be further from the truth. You mentioned the types of people that are interested in our course, and again, frankly, the training that we provide is way too boring for those kinds of people. It's not nearly exciting enough. We don't use any pictures of Maseratis and yachts that you're going to get in the next 12 days when you begin your, you know, online riches. That's not what we teach, that's not what we do, and that's not of interest to them. What we teach requires way too much work and way too much effort for somebody who expects money to come flying out of their computer with no effort whatsoever. So we don't have any appeal for those type of people. And so it's just really an unfounded fear and an unfair sort of stereotype being placed on something that has no basis in reality. I mean, they have no idea who the people are that we're teaching trading.
We talk about
real estate professionals, retired doctors. We've got, again, one of the absolute legends of publishing and direct marketing of all time. And that's just scratching the surface. The cross-section of professionals and gainfully employed individuals, military people, all kinds of just great all-American folks looking to try and use barter as a way to create profit for themselves and their families
and
offer legitimate goods and services in an untapped marketplace. They're not looking to come in and pull a fast one and sell some $25,000 listing for a $2,000 Jeep. They're looking for an opportunity to sell legitimate goods and services in a marketplace that's not overrun, like eBay.
Right, with competition, which is what I teach. You know, there's a reason why on eBay a certain ring will sell for $100. Well, why? Because there's 9,000 people selling it. On barter, I exploit the loophole, which isn't anything bad. It's simply this, that barter is an island unto itself. And therefore, that $1,000 retail ring that might sell for $100 on eBay very well sells for its retail value on ITEX or IMS or barter card simply because there are a limited number of sellers. Now, if there's something wrong with doing that, then I'm not living in the United States. I mean, to be honest with you, because for some reason, it's okay, you know, everybody's supposed to, you know, in terms of fees and commissions, everybody wants, you know, as much as possible. But, you know, then you get people that come out and say, no, you know, I don't know what they want. I, honest to God, what do they want? Do they want that $100 ring with a, you know, because perception is reality. And the market determines the worth of anything. Now, outside of blatant inflation, obviously. So if the sticker on a ring is $9.99 and a student puts it up there, I'm sorry. I see nothing wrong with that. It's not inflated. And if the market will buy it, and believe me, I've done jewelry. And I know there's people on these trade exchanges that grossly inflate. We never have. We've never endorsed that. That is wrong. That's not a good thing. But for some reason, there are certain people that are like Monday morning quarterbacks who want to talk about the glory days of what they used to do, but they're not in the game now. I'm speaking more to people in the game now. I'm talking about brokers whose livelihood depends on getting traders, and right. I'm talking about traders that trade. We have a method of creating quality traders. We also have a method of obtaining them in a shorter amount of time than the average office could do in a month with 5 salespeople. That's the truth. Whether they like it or not, that's the way it is. And the fact I'm not a barter broker, that's a good thing. Sometimes you need to be on the outside looking in. It makes me no less qualified. I have the utmost respect for brokers. I just want to get brokers back to doing what I think they want to do, which is making money and doing business, not doing the, you know, cold calling, not doing the brick pounding, et cetera. I don't think they like doing that. I think it's spirit draining, and I don't think it's a good use of their time. Again, barter is about leverage. The industry itself needs to realize that. You're teaching people about leverage, supposedly, yet you don't leverage your own time. And they don't. I'm not saying all trade exchanges. There are a couple I have seen that are using some of the techniques that I talk about. And there are
I've seen that too. That's really exciting. I've seen a couple news stories recently about a couple of barter exchanges on the upswing that that get it. They get it. And you know what the truth is? You know what that says to me, Vince, is that at the end of the day, there's going to be a smart minority of people who recognize a window of opportunity when they see it, and they're going to jump through that window of opportunity and be able to take advantage of the situation and have the leverage that it provides, while everyone else is going to sort of stand on the sidelines and watch and watch and watch.
And line up the
park
3 feet.
You know what's going to happen? The window is going to close. Okay,
yep.
That window of opportunity is going to close, and they're going to be left on the outside saying, why didn't I do it? Why didn't I pay attention? Why wasn't I moving forward at that moment? Because there's a limited opportunity. Let's face it, the barter world is a fairly small segment of the business population. It's growing, and that's great, but it's still a small segment of the business population.
Absolutely.
It's a smaller ocean than the Atlantic, okay? It's the Gulf of Mexico. And so the truth of the matter is, when you have a smaller playing field, that means that there's going to be less players involved. And the smart ones that jump in and learn how to take advantage of these situations and learn how to train people in large scale and get them up and active and trading quickly and at volume, they're going to be the ones who reap all the rewards. And everybody else is going to be stuck back watching these numbers and, again, embittered, questioning the quality of who they're bringing in. What are they left to say when they're on the outside of the window looking in, except, ah, well, What kind of quality are they bringing in? I bet they don't have this, and you know
I
what? They don't do that.
$25,000 Jeep for $2,000. I mean, this is where exactly. I mean, you know what? The way I look at it is, there might be X amount of exchanges out there. I guarantee you, there's a certain amount of them we're going to move forward because, you know, like you brought up a good point to me one day. My God, we created more traders in a shorter period of time than I'm pretty sure than any office in history. I'm not affiliated with any particular office. I'm saying we created that, and we are not insiders on, you know, a particular board or in the, you know, one of these organizations at all. And my point is, why wouldn't that be something of interest to this industry? I would hope there would be at least a dozen exchanges out there who would maybe put aside their skepticism and say, wow, I wonder how the hell they did that. But rather than do that, you'll have some of these Monday morning quarterbacks want to dissect it and say this and that, and yet they never, ever accept the premise that that's pretty impressive. My God, because I guarantee you there isn't a broker out there anywhere that wouldn't like to create 86 clients in less than a week with the vast majority of them trading. And even if you got 20% of them or 25% of them trading, my God, that the amount of time it would take you to do that the way you're doing it now, there's not even any comparison. And what's really amazing about this is the approaches that we teach for brokers and exchanges are relatively simple. You know, as Jim Straw once said, there really are no secrets. There's things you just haven't discovered. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people in the barter industry that don't want to discover anything. They want to keep their head in the sand. They want to continue doing business the way it's always been done because, unfortunately, they have never been shown another way. That's the fault of the industry. You know, they need to at least start looking at some other ideas. So people don't have to like me and they don't have to like the way I talk and they can say what they want. But the fact of the matter is we have a method that does something that nobody else is able to do out there. And there isn't another training program. I'm not knocking any of them, but we've got the numbers to back it up. And the fact of the matter is if you want to apply this to the brick and mortars, you can do it. I'm saying that you should, you know, open the doors to a lot more than, you know, that particular profile. But for those who are just dead, you know, set on, you know, we want brick and mortars, fine. I mean, I can show you how to do that as well. It's not
you bet. Absolutely. There's no difference whatsoever in training a business owner of a particular type of retail store how to do what we do than there is teaching a retired doctor how to do what we
absolutely
do, which is what we're doing. But the truth of the matter is, when you apply the training and you teach people how to trade and best practices, then you create a new ecosystem. You create a new microeconomy within the broader world of barter. You create your own little network of people who are just getting things done, who are out doing it, and they help each other. The great thing about what we teach is that we don't have a competitive spirit amongst our traders. We have people who help each other out. They say, hey,
absolutely,
you know, I don't do this kind of thing, but I know that so-and-so is selling a lot of these. Let me hook up Joe Schmo here with Jim Jones over here.
Absolutely.
And they can probably put something together. And we teach them how to do that, how to put two people together who have complementary needs and wants, and everybody makes money in the process. How is that possibly not a good thing for barter?
You just basically nailed it. I mean, that's, you know, again, I've learned long ago that there are certain industries that flat out are not interested in new ideas, but within the industry, there are always some that say, you know what, I'm tired of picking up the yellow pages. I'm tired of making appointments. I'm tired of having my real traders that are actually trying to do business call me up, and I can't handle their transaction because I'm over here banging the streets or at an appointment with somebody that I have to now spend 2 hours with if I even get to see them at all, or I don't get blown off, or et cetera. I mean, I may not have been a barter broker, but it's the same game. It's recruiting the old-fashioned way is the same in their industry as it was in every other industry I've ever been a part of, whether it's stocks, whether it's this or that. The way it's always been is, you know, I mean, stockbroker in New York starts out, the first thing they do is shove a yellow page if they start cold calling. Now, that's the way it was always done. Then there are certain brilliant marketing minds like Dan Kennedy and some of these people came around and said, you know what, why don't you start designing your marketing a little different and get people to come to you instead of you coming at them. And with that simple little shift in philosophy, you actually will have clients coming to you. It's not, and let me tell you what that does to the sales process. There's a big difference between making a cold call and trying to pitch someone, you know, as they're fighting with their wife or they're in the middle of dinner or they're walking their dog. Big difference between that and someone calling you or walking and just flat out saying, hey, I'm ready to sign up. Now, if people can't see the difference and can see the ability, they, you know, one, let's be honest, cold calling is a numbers game. That's what they always say. You know, make 250 calls, you might close, whatever. Well, that may be true. But the fact is, those 250 calls take your time away from servicing your active trader. The way we set these systems up in place are pretty much, you know, push button in the sense that you switch it around. Your clients will start coming to you, and it is not difficult. And the fact that we're in 2010, and I have only seen maybe one or two exchanges do this half right is shocking. It's stunning, and it really is. I mean, it just I have never seen an industry that does this type of business as a whole, and they sit there, and it's like, well, we're a $1 billion industry. And we are, despite the fact we don't have any books and this and that. And I'm thinking, yeah, you are, but you're leaving. I mean, again, it's like walking into the bank with $1 million. You walk out with $500 or a $50 bill, and you think you did something great. Well, you did. You got some free money, I guess, but you left the mother load there because you couldn't see through the friggin' forest. And that's the difference. You know, we're living in a different age now. It is time, you know. You know, again, the world was flat forever. Eventually, it became round. Barter needs to become new world oriented. And I swear to God, it's not hard. We don't teach programs that require, you know, all these coaching programs. Oh, you got boot camps and this. You know what? Truth be told, you know, within 4 or 5 hours, you know, this is something that I could teach anybody. It's not rocket science. I am not a genius at a lot of things. This is one particular thing that I have a real good grasp on and have the numbers to back it up. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I hope that
I will say this, that, you know, in the very near future, we're going to be introducing an opportunity for people to get their hands on this training for themselves. And all we ask is that people just suspend a little of the skepticism and disbelief momentarily in order to give yourself a fair shake and an opportunity to evaluate it on its merit. You don't have to take our word for it. You don't even have to take our students' word for it. You can look at it for yourself, hold it up to the light and examine it, and see for yourself that this just makes perfect sense. It's not a matter of trickery. It's not a magic rabbit that we're pulling out of our hat. It's simple common sense and application of some very simple marketing principles that no one else is teaching. And there will come a time when that kind of opportunity, that window of opportunity, is not as exciting as it is right now, because people will get smarter about it and they'll be doing it and more people will be doing it. And suddenly, like one, you know, you tell a friend and then they tell two friends and then they tell two friends. Sooner or later, this will be the way that it's done. And then the opportunity will have dried up. And so bottom line is, in the very near future, we're going to be offering an opportunity for people to get their hands on this training for themselves and make their own mind up. And so this has been great, Vince. I really appreciate you taking the time to clarify this stuff. And hopefully our listeners have gotten a lot out of, you know, kind of dispelling some of the myths
and knocking around some of the nonsense that we've been reading online lately about this process, because there's just a whole lot of misconceptions and sort of phony baloney getting posted about what we do and how we do it, based out of fear and ignorance and skepticism. And
yep.
Again, we understand why people are concerned.
Yep.
The point is, they have no reason to be. And if they'll simply suspend that skepticism for a few minutes and take a good look at what we're doing here, I think everyone is going to walk away richer for it.
Absolutely. And I would say this as well. I'm not going to spend a lifetime trying to convince critics, cynics, or naysayers of anything. I don't have to. The fact of the matter is, if you're in a certain state and you want to be skeptical, fine, be skeptical. If your competition decides to take a shot, that's a different story, because the fact of the matter is, say what you will, but you got to ask yourself, if you were able to literally create clients in an environment that was actually fun, where they were coming to you, and I'm talking about doing clients in a matter of days that would take, again, an office a month to accomplish the same numbers, I would think that any exchange that was looking to expand or looking for greater bottom line would at least take a look. Now, those that don't, God bless you, you know, good luck to you. But those that do are going to be in the 21st century or the 22nd or whatever we're heading into. Because, again, these are techniques that are not found in any other training program out there. There's not a single coaching program out there that touches on this. We're not getting into the nuts and bolts of how to run a barter exchange. I have no skill, no interest. That's up to you. I'm not going to talk to you about the next great software. What we do is very simple. We're going to show you how to create clients faster than you could ever imagine, and we've done it, and we're going to show you, if you're interested, how to actually take those clients and make them better traders. But I know, if nothing else, just the fact that you're going to be able to go out and create traders in a way that isn't imposing, in a way that doesn't require you to, again, pick up the phone book or make appointments and, you know, waste a lot of your time on a lot of people that really aren't truly interested. Simple system that's going to let the room, come to you, so to speak. And it's very exciting. Again, this is stuff that's never been put out. People can believe it or they don't. Doesn't much matter to me. The fact is, we did, in fact, do 83 clients in 6 days, and that's documented. And, unless somebody out there can show me they've done more, I would at least keep an open mind and maybe stick around and figure out how the hell I did it. But that's up to
that. Right. That's absolutely right. And with that, Vince, we're going to close out the show tonight. Again, thanks so much for taking the time to
lay out
the line.
Thank you, Brian. I really appreciate it.
And I was happy to spend this time sort of, kind of shooting the breeze with you there. We let it all hang out. It was kind of a rant tonight. Felt good, too, to be able to take on some of the nonsense and some of the skepticism that gets posted in just a very direct way, so that we can move forward with a clean slate here with people and take a look at this opportunity. So thanks, everybody, for listening.
I appreciate
in.
It.
We'll be giving you more details in the very, very near future here about some of the upcoming things that we have planned. And in the interim, just keep your eyes and ears peeled for more news from Vegas Vince about barter arbitrage. Thanks, folks.